The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It is going to be super cool, I think, when you start to realize the way God made you, the way He created you with a personality, with passions, and with your spiritual gift, when they all work together, you get to sit back and you're like, this is not like coincidental. I don't know if you guys have ever heard like people say, well, you know, that's just coincidence. God's not a God of coincidence. He has worked things out. He has made you exactly how you are and fit you into a church that needs you to be exactly who you are. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to kind of finish up our series. We've been going through this series called Crafted, how your personality, your passion, and your spiritual gift are all working together in a specific way that God wants to use you in His church. And so today we're going to kind of wrap that up by talking about the gifts, spiritual gifts that God has given us. The first part of this is we have to understand is that everyone has been given the gift of grace, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. It's the idea that every single person who is a Christian, you and I, as believers in Christ, we've been given the gift of grace. Now that's a spiritual gift, right? It did not come from anything we can do. It is God giving us something, and what God has given us is grace. But that's not where His giving stops. See, we think a lot of us were like, okay, grace, I'm done. I've been given grace. I've been forgiven of my sins. I'm going to heaven one day. Fantastic. I'm done. That's not where His giving stops. God continues to give, and I think that God gives every single Christian, so in other words, once you receive God's grace, you're a Christian, God gives you a specific spiritual gift. Most of this is found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where you find a lot about these, but really, these spiritual gifts are found all through Scripture. All the way back in Exodus, all the way back in Judges, you find this idea where the Spirit comes on someone, empowers them and strengthens them. Actually in Exodus, you find this encounter where God gives skilled craftsmen minds to figure out how to build things. What that means is that God is giving people spiritual gifts. He's giving you specific gifts that He wants you to use in the work that He's doing on earth. So there are these spiritual gifts, just to kind of go through them. I'm not going to say these are the extensive list. If you want to talk, you study and you know way more than me and you know that there are other spiritual gifts that I don't mention today. That's great. Come see me after service and I'd love to talk to you about them. But what I'm going to say, these are the spiritual gifts that we're going to kind of highlight today or in the assessment is hospitality, intercession, leadership, mercy, shepherding, teaching, administration, discernment and prophecy, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, and helps. Again, that's not an extensive list. That may not be a complete list. And you may think, well, there's this one and you forgot it. I didn't forget it. And like I said, we can talk about it later and we can figure out what you think and what I think and what God tells us. And then we can just shake hands and say, hey, this is everybody's gift. But today, we're not even really going to go through the gifts and talk about them. That's on the assessments. So if you want to get the gifts, you want to discuss the gifts, or you want to figure out what you are, you do that on the assessment. What I want to just talk to you guys real quickly about today is really the idea of spiritual gifts. Why do we have them? Who gets them is the first question, right? Does everybody get a spiritual gift? Yeah, I think so. I think the first thing that you have there in your notes is this. Every Christian receives a spiritual gift. If you're a follower of Christ, you have a spiritual gift. You say, well, I'm not a gifted, I can't get up there and I can't do what Max does. Okay, that's fine. You have another spiritual gift. Some of you like say, well, I've got a great Sunday school teacher. I can't do what they do. Okay, that's all right. You have another spiritual gift. God has given every single Christian a spiritual gift. It does not matter how old you are, how young you are. It does not matter how new to faith you are, how experienced in the Christian life you are. It doesn't matter if you're a male, if you're a female. It does not matter. God has given every single Christian a spiritual gift. I need you to understand that, because some of us have lived our entire lives in church and we've never realized that God has gifted us with a spiritual gift. We think that church is something that everybody else does and you just come. And that's not it. God says, listen, you are given something that I need you to give back to the church. Anybody ever heard a pastor get up and talk about giving? You haven't. All right. Good. No, but listen, I struggle with this because we may have to bring in an evangelist that week to talk about giving. Because when I want to talk to you about giving, I'm not worried about financially. God's going to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about what you're giving back to him, how he's gifted you, and therefore how you should be gifting back to him who you are as a person. I think if we start doing that, the money's going to take care of itself. But just so you don't think I'm making stuff up, I put this stuff on the screen for you. It's in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. I wish that all of you were like me, but God has given different gifts to each one of us. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone, to each is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, let him serve one another as good stewards of God's varied gifts. So the idea here is that every single Christian, every person who is a believer in Christ, they've received God's grace. God also gives you a spiritual gift. So that's just, we're going to start there. Every single person who claims to be a Christian should have a spiritual gift. The second thing that you have to understand about spiritual gifts is that they are expressions of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are an expression of the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit is still working today? Good, good. All right. Now, let me ask you another question to kind of follow it up. How does the Holy Spirit work today? Well, through us. See, what happens is these are expressions of the Holy Spirit. God can do anything he wants to do. I need you to hear me say that. God can do whatever he wants to do. If God wanted to, like, walk through those doors and come down here and turn this table into, I don't know, a giant chocolate cake, because that sounds good right now, he could do it. God is that powerful. He is that strong. He is capable of doing whatever he wants to do. But what's really cool about God is he says, listen, I can do that, but I want to do it through you. Now, listen, I could pray over this table for a long time. I'm not sure I could turn this table into a chocolate cake. But I know that the way the Holy Spirit works in the lives of everyone around him is through me. Is what I allow God to do in my life is how other people see Christ in the world today. Spiritual gifts are the expression of the Holy Spirit. The verse is there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all to everyone. These gifts are a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All these work for one and the same Spirit. It's how we as Christians become the hands, the feet, the legs, the back, the eyes, the ears of Christ. How we do that, we call ourselves the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. How we become the physical, the literal hands and feet of Christ is by allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. As God manifests the Holy Spirit through our lives, other people see the body of Christ. They see his hands. They see his feet. Have you ever like talked to somebody or done something nice for somebody and they say, oh man, you've just been such a blessing to me. What that means is they've seen God working in you and through you. And somehow in that process, they have seen God because of what you have done in their life. Spiritual gifts are also given for the betterment of the church. That's the next blank you have there. What does that mean? How many of you know people who are just super talented? I mean, like, do you ever like get angry with people who are super talented? Anybody? You do. I do, man. Like, my wife will be like, I don't know, she'll be listening to somebody, and she's like, oh, man, they can sing. And I'm like, I can sing too, baby. And, you know, like, she'll be watching somebody, like, play guitar, and she's like, oh, they're just so talented. And I'm like, I know G, C, and D. You know, like, I mean, like, you get so frustrated sometimes with people who are just so talented. And then if you've ever seen somebody who's, like, super talented, and you're like, man, if that person only knew Christ, the impact, the difference they could make. See, that's the difference, though, between talents and spiritual gifts. There's a world full of talented people out there. And some of those talented people use their talents as a way to glorify God. So there's a quick distinction that has to come here, because talents are one thing. Spiritual gifts are different. Spiritual gifts are given by God for the betterment of the church. Your spiritual gift is given to you specifically to be used as part of this, the church. And I think, yeah, I did. It's capitalized on there because I'm not dumb. I get that this is a church. This isn't the church. There are other churches that are still doing the work of God, that are still the hands and feet of Christ. And so listen, if you don't find a spot to fit in here, there's a spot for you someplace to fit in. Now, I want you here. Please, please, please hear me. I want you here. But I need you to understand that you have to be using your spiritual gift to better the church in some capacity. If not, it's not a spiritual gift. It's a talent. You're missing the spiritual aspect of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is a great passage, verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Ephesians 4, verse 12 says this, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. 1 Peter, we already read that one at the beginning, but it says in verse 10, God has given each of you a gift, each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another. See, the idea is that as God has gifted you, now you turn around and you use that gift for his church, in his church, as part of what he's doing in the world today. Now, this is where it starts to get a little angry, and I'm hoping I've gone through this quickly enough, because this is where some of y'all are going to get mad at me, and that's all right. I told Miss Bonnie I may not be here much longer, but we're going to go with what we've got. They're meant to function as part of a whole. Spiritual gifts are meant to function as part of a whole. Pirates of the Caribbean, anybody ever watch those movies? The Nine Pieces of Eight? That used to confuse the mess out of me. I was like, what? That? And then I figured out that, like, they were pieces, individual things that functioned as a whole. When the Nine Pieces of Eight got together is when, like, the pirate committee could do something, I don't know, declare war. I still don't get it all. But it made me understand this idea that they are pieces, but they have to function as a whole. Spiritual gifts are pieces that are supposed to function as a whole. It's impossible to be a part of the body of Christ without being a part of the body of Christ. You can't be a body part of Christ. You can't be his hand and be over on your own. That doesn't work. I'm not sure, Mandy, if I were to cut my hand off, would it survive long? The doctor says no. Okay, good. Just so you know, I'm not a doctor. She is, and she told me, if you cut your hand off and it goes over here, it cannot survive on its own. Some of us think, well, I've been given spiritual gifts. I'm blessed. I've got all this spiritual stuff figured out. I don't need no church because the church just drags me down. No, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You need the church. You have not been given every spiritual gift. There is not a believer that I've met yet who is gifted in every single area that they need to where they don't need each other. And guess what? If you are, you come to me today and you say, John, you're wrong. I've been given every spiritual gift. I am blessed beyond blessed beyond blessed. I'm so close to Jesus. We're like this. Awesome. Other people around you need you then. I need you to be in part of this church because I need you to be that to other people. You are meant to function as a part of something else as part of a whole. God needs people to be the church together. He needs you to use your spiritual gift in this setting. He needs you to be here so that other people, you can be something to somebody else. And as you guys all work together, you're functioning as a whole. The passages there are great. If you get a chance today at some point in time, I would love for you to read those. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. As a human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Your spiritual gift was meant for you to function inside the confines of a church. If you think you're using your spiritual gift on your own at your house, segregated, separated from the body of Christ, you're fooling yourself. That wasn't the intended purpose of it. It was meant to be used as a unified body. The second, one of the other things to know about spiritual gifts, there are no useless gifts. Again, y'all ever feel just useless when you come to church? Like, I can't do anything. I don't have a spot to fit. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do whatever. Understand that there's not a useless gift. Every spiritual gift that Christ has given has an intended and specific purpose, and that every single one of them is just as important as the other ones. The passage is there, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Do not think of themselves as more highly as they ought to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest, the least important, are actually the most necessary. It's the idea that every spiritual gift has a purpose. Every gift is unique, and there's a unique place in God's church that you need to fit with that gift. Again, this whole idea has been that we've been crafted. You've been, your personality, your passion, and your spiritual gift are all working together. Do you realize that every church has a hole in it that is you? If Mike were to come back up here with his, you said a mouse? That's kind of creepy. Who makes Play-Doh mice? It was a pig? Okay, it was whatever it was. No, it said it was a pig. Okay, I like a pig better than a mouse. You realize that there is a hole in Morningsport Baptist Church that is the exact shape of you. Nobody else can fill that hole. Nobody else can fit that. Nobody else can come in and step in. They can hold it off for a little while, but only you can do what God has called you to do in his church. Nobody else can do that. You have the passion, you have the personality, you have the spiritual gift to fill in such a spot that God has designed for you, but nobody else can do that. There's no useless gift. You say, well, I'm in the 1 Corinthians passage, the hand says to the foot, well, I'm not a foot, so I must not be important. I'm not an ear. The ear says to the eye, I can't do anything. I must not be important. And Paul says, no, that's the exact opposite. It takes every single part of the body of Christ functioning as that specific part in order for it to truly work. Some of you who've had health issues, who have had strokes, or know people who've had strokes, or you've stubbed, anybody ever stubbed their big toe? We'll just go there. Anybody ever stubbed your big toe? I feel like Caleb's not here this week, but can't walk on it, right? Can't put weight on it, can't function right. Changes how you walk just from stubbing your toe. And you're like, that's so stupid, it's a toe. But doesn't it change how you do everything? The same thing's true with the body of Christ. See, if one part, one single thing decides it's not going to work like it's supposed to, the body doesn't function the way it's called to function. The church can't be the church it's called to be unless the people of the church are doing what they're called to do. Let's see. Get back to my notes here. You got to hate this. Spiritual gifts require love. Doesn't that just stink? Like, why can't I just do them and be like angry about it, right? Like, why can't I be angry and mad? Why do I have to love people in the process of it? I don't know. You can take that up with God. All I know is what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I love what Paul does, because as he ends chapter 12, he says, listen, you guys all desire these spiritual gifts. You desire this. You want this, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And I love the phrase he uses. He says, a more excellent way. In other words, listen, you think that this is all that matters is these spiritual gifts and being the most spiritual, super spiritual person ever. But there's this better way out there. And that's when he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which, what do you guys know, is 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? Everybody reads it at their wedding and they get heartfelt goosebumps and they walk away, I love you. It's on Valentine's Day cards, all those different things. But really, not even the context for what Paul's writing about at all. The context is, hey, listen, as part of the body of Christ, as the church, what you do has to be done in love. And he gives examples in the first three verses there. He says, listen, if you have every spiritual gift, if you know all prophecy, if you can speak with tongues of angels and men, if you can do all this different stuff, but you don't love people, you're just a noising gong. You're missing the purpose of it. Spiritual gifts require you and I to love other people sacrificially, outside of our comfort zone. People who may not look like us, think like us, act like us, that's what requires love. So when you use your gift, if you're doing it from the wrong motives, with the wrong heart, with the wrong intention or the wrong purposes, you're missing the point of it. Because the point of it is to be done in love. The last thing, I think this is the last thing, I hope it is. If not, it's going to be. You can't return these gifts. Again, if you go and you read all over all these passages that are in your notes there, but the Romans 11, verse 29 says, God's gifts and his callings are irrevocable. If you read in the, I think it's the 1 Corinthians 12 passage, it talks about, because I'm not a part of the body, or because I'm not this, I'm not a part of the body, because I don't like who I am, I don't want to be that anymore. That's not an option. Because I'm not gonna do anything. If I can't do that, I'm not gonna do anything at all. It's not an option. See, you can't return these gifts means that you are now responsible for these gifts. Same thing as having a kid. Can you return a kid? By the way, if you haven't heard yet, we've got our fourth kid. Tried to return it. God said no. Fourth kid's on the way in July. Baby boy. So yeah, tell her, not me. Are you excited? But I'm sorry. Eventually I was going to get in trouble today, Max. I just didn't know when it was going to be. But you can't return a kid, can you? They're there. They're part of your life. And you're now responsible for them. The same thing is true with spiritual gifts. You can't return them. You can't give them back. And now, according to James chapter 4, love this verse. One day I'm going to spend an entire week just talking about this verse. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. We're good at identifying sins of commission in our life, right? Oh, listen, I know it's wrong to do this, but just this once. I'm going to do this. I know this probably isn't what I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to do it anyways. I think the bigger sin that's affecting churches today is sins of omission. I know what I'm supposed to do, God, but I'm busy. Have you seen my schedule? Have you been in, listen, come by my office today. I'll show you. I've got about six calendars, Miss Bonnie, I think I have floating around my office someplace. I'm too busy, God. I can't do what you've called me to do. God, I don't have the financial freedom to do that. I have to do this first. God, I don't have the time, or I don't have the this, I don't have the that. And we can come up with excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse as to why we cannot be the part of the church that God is calling us to be. But what you have to understand is that once you've done that, you've committed the sin. You've committed a sin. Now, we all like to talk about this, and this gets a little touchy. God forgive me for this. Hey, I need to tell y'all I love you. That's why I'm telling you this, all right? We're real quick to point fingers at homosexuals. We're real quick to point fingers at people who are living in adultery. We're real quick to point fingers at people who are gambling, and it's a lifestyle of sin. That's a lifestyle of sin. Those people have zero regard to return to Christ. There's a lot of people who are sitting in church pews just like this today who are living a lifestyle of sin because you know what God is calling you to do and you are refusing to do it. What that passage in James tells me is this: you're in a lifestyle of sin. You know what's right and you are refusing to do it. You are continually sinning. Hey, listen, I'm telling you because I love you, because I don't want you to continue in that, because I understand what the weight of that sin does to you over time. It robs you of your joy. It steals the passion out of your life. It beats you up. And because you've lived with the weight of this sin on your shoulders for so long, you miss the very best that God has for you. I have absolutely no idea how to end this today, other than to tell you this: you have a spiritual gift. God is giving it to you to use as part of His church today. Some of you have no clue what that means. You're like, I don't even know what that means. Listen, that's why we did these assessments, so you can find out what your spiritual gift is. Some of you say, all right, great, now that I know what my spiritual gift is, what do I do? That's why we have that card. That's called the crafted card. Because we want to take you and we want to find out what your spiritual gift is, and we want to help you get plugged into using your gift in God's church today so that you don't have to live this lifestyle of sin any longer. You can get out of that. You can become involved in what God's doing, and you can watch God do miraculous things in your life because of what you allow Him to do in other people through you. So, some of you need to join this church today. You've come, you've sat, you've listened, you've loved. That's awesome. Remember, you're only a part that's supposed to be functioning as a whole. You need to connect yourself to a church to say, this is going to be my base camp. Here's where I'm going to serve through. This is where I'm going to commit. Whatever decision God's laid on your heart today, I'm going to just pray, and I'm going to let you be faithful to follow through with what God is calling you to do. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you've given us spiritual gifts. God, that you've crafted us in such a specific and unique way that, Father, there are things that only we can do in our church. God, my prayer now is that you would just speak your words to your people. Father, that you would encourage them to do whatever they need to do during this time of invitation. Father, if there's somebody who is here that's never trusted you, God, they don't have a relationship with you. They've never made it public. They've never been baptized. I pray that you would just encourage them to come down today, talk it through. Father, make that commitment. Father, for those who need to join this church or who need to be involved in ministry in some way, Lord, I pray that you would just press on their heart today to do what only you can do in their life. Lord, we love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.